already heard someone say, Lord, bless Brother Ed. But I'd be grateful for some more of that. Ed Wilson, Shawnee, Oklahoma. I'd like to read to you this evening, by the Lord's help, the 130th Psalm. I love the Psalms. Do you like the Psalms? There's a lot to be found in them. Those who study them divide them into categories, and depending on which authority you read, there are five. I think that's about right. And the 130th Psalm is in the category of what's called the lamenting Psalms. Lamenting means you're feeling bad and you're talking about it, looking for some help. All the Psalms are amazing. David, from the time he was a shepherd boy to the moment when he breathed his last peacefully in the king's palace surrounded by friends, experienced the whole range nearly of human emotions and experiences. He was rich, he was poor, he was hunted, he was successful. He failed and he won victory. And he wrote Psalms that describe nearly all of those things. So God wisely preserved those down to you and me in order that we might also be benefited by the insights that God gave him during the course of that journey. The old rabbis, well, they didn't do too well in Jesus' time. But we'd be badly mistaken if we overlooked the contribution that the wise men of Israel made to understanding God during the centuries, because there were some devout ones, and they did a great deal with the Psalms. And one of the things that they said was that when David stood up to work with the people, that the Word of God came into his mind, the meaning of things, so that he didn't have to spend time understanding. Wouldn't that be a wonderful gift to have? Riddles and puzzles and things, and the answers would just appear in his mind while he was walking with the Lord. Well, that's, if you got a king leading you, I'll say it this way, I wish our president had more of that sort of experience. The 130th Psalm has at the caption the term a song of degrees. Degrees is translated from the Hebrew me'alot. Degrees means steps. Literally, me'alot means going up. And the idea is that there are a series of psalms that make a series of steps in advancing into the things of God. And this is one of the steps. When I read this, it reminds me of when Sheba, Queen of Sheba, visited Solomon and beheld the sitting of his servants, the order of his table, the peace in his kingdom, and then the crowning moment when she saw the ascent whereby he went up to the house of the Lord. And I have to think that that's talking about the spiritual steps. It's like Solomon laid his crown aside when he went up to worship God. He didn't go as a king there. He went as a humble seeker of the Lord, and it impressed Sheba so much, the Queen of Sheba, so much, she said, now I see where all your blessing comes from, so there remain no more spirit in her. Kings and queens kind of compete with each other, but all the starch went out of her when she saw really the way that he worshiped. If we can get these degrees in our hearts, they're capable of doing the same thing for us, elevating us above ourselves to a higher spiritual scene. Plain, the 130th Psalm really is one of the first in the song of degrees, in the steps, because this is a psalm about salvation. And that's what I want to talk to you about this evening by the Lord's help. It's only 8 verses long, so maybe I won't be up here long enough to bore you tonight. I ask you to pray for me. Let me read you some of this. David said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. And I'll leave those last two verses for now and go back to the first one. Out of the depths. Out of the depths. The Hebrew word here means despair. It means from the bottom. Everybody who lives life very long is going to have some depths. It could be because of a death in the family. It could be because of a dreadful illness. It could be because of danger. David knew about danger, being hunted. It could simply be that people hit the bottom in sin. Just go down so deep that it looks like there's nothing left to hope for anymore. I have the private notion that there are lots of people in this world who are in the depths and really don't even realize it. It's evident to me, not in the skyscrapers they build, perhaps, or the material things that people can do, the highways. It's in their literature. It's in their art. It's in their music. It's in the things people do when they allow themselves to express their emotions. And so much of modern literature is so dark. So much of music in the literal world, I'm not a fan of it. I don't study it. But I get enough of it to know that so much of it is brokenhearted and desperate and in despair. We live in a world that's in despair. Despair is certain to touch every one of our lives at one time or another. Well, I've seen some of it myself. Now, my own personal testimony is that I've lived for the Lord since I was a young man. And in my moments of despair, the Lord has been there for me. I've lost my father and my mother and my sister, and I know what it means, feels like, to sit under that green tent there in the cemetery. But I have known some who, when that moment came, it looked like they just had nothing left to cling to. Oh, I remember when we were down here. Man asked us to do his funeral. He'd been alienated from his son. Didn't get along with each other. And when the time came and there were a few people there at the service, and the mortician came up and opened the casket like they do, and the boy came up to see his dad, and he tried to get in the casket with him. And the tears were streaming down his cheeks. He had unfinished business with his dad. The last time he saw him, he took a tire tool and put him in the hospital. And now his dad's gone. He can never, ever get it back again, and he's got that sorrow to carry with him the rest of his life. I would like to have been able to do something to lift that despair from him, but who can do it? It is impossible. If he is still living today, he still has that memory. I hope he's found salvation, but everybody is subject to hit the depths somewhere or another, and we can do things that make the depths a lot worse for ourselves if the old devil gets the better of us and we allow him to do so. Well, this is the place that David is crying from. I mentioned to you a moment ago that the Psalms cover the whole spectrum of human experience. Here, David is dealing with the very bottom. Thank God he didn't all end with this verse. He put the way out of it in here too. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. And this word that's translated cried, it doesn't mean just a wail. It means a scream. It means a shriek. It means a human spirit pressed to the limit of what it can bear. People can get in that kind of place in this world. I know you know it too. There's a world full around us like that, and it makes me look at it and say, Lord, have mercy on me. You told us to be a light, and I want to be a light by your help, because I know there are folks who need a guide to somewhere better. Here again, it's in this psalm, reaching back all those 2,000 plus years ago, old Father David got the vision of it, and the same things that he found to work for his people then will still work for you and me today. Salvation is present and perfect, and it is forever. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. And if you got your Bible open now to the 130th Psalm, I want to invite you to look at that word, Lord. And in the next verse, same word is repeated. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. They're both Lord in our King James, but they're not the same. One of them is spelled in all capital letters, L-O-R-D. And the second one is a capital L and a smaller case, L and lowercase, O-R-D. And there are nuances involved in it, but for our purposes this evening, I think it's safe to say this is talking, first of all, about an absolute just God, Lord of everything, before whom Adam found no forgiveness. He had to be thrust from the garden. Before whom Sodom and Gomorrah met eternal damnation. An absolutely just and holy God. Before whom every transaction receives a just recompense of reward. Every wrongdoing has to be answered for. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Because I'm a human. And troubles happen to me. And I feel bad. And maybe some of it's my fault, and maybe some of it is because of Adam, and maybe some of it's just because I'm in the world. But it all feels bad, and I haven't done too well. And so, well, where else can I go? Because you're the one to whom we sing, How Great Thou Art. You're the ruler of the universe. I can't change that. Out of this despair, I'm crying to you. What am I going to do? Lord, and this second one, Lord Jesus, I need some mercy. I need somebody to stand between me and God's absolute justice and to hear my voice. God's got a voice. It's a holy voice. I got a voice too. Mine hasn't always been a holy voice. But I got a right to plea, Lord, I'm your creation. I'm down here in this world. Will you have mercy on me? Is there some way you can find to have mercy on me? Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Listen to what I have to tell you. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? And there again, it's a capital L, Lord, and then the lowercase, Lord. Another translation has that this way. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. The 143rd Psalm picked up that same idea, and he has it this way there. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no living man be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works and consider the works of our hands. And look in every direction I can find. I can't see any way out of this for me. Because if you should mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? And who do you know who wants to stand up and say, well, Lord, I have never had one wrong thought in my life. I have never misspoken to anybody. I have never grieved you one time. God's absolutely holy. Every transgression receive a just recompense or reward. Well, there's a reason why we should feel down in the depths. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. All right, there are deaths, and there is poverty, and there are dangers, and there are serious illnesses. And people cry to the Lord at times like that. But every one of these go back to God one another, one way or another. Have you seen it? Have you seen that happen? I'm old now. And I remember people coming to me and saying, if the Lord will get me out of this, I'll be in meeting every time the meeting house doors are open. You ever heard that kind of promise? Somebody say, I remember a man one time who had his, he would come to meeting, but he wouldn't come in the chapel. He'd sit out in his car. And he had some excuses for that, and then he got down bad sick. And he wanted us to come and pray for him. That's the right thing to do. I'm glad he did. And we did go pray for him. And I heard him with my own ears praying, telling God, Lord, I've been wrong in doing this, and I'm sorry. And if you'll have mercy on me and heal me, I'll be sitting in the meeting house every time my wife goes in there. Have you heard that? That's part of what this is talking about, crying unto him. Well, that's where we should cry when we get into this kind of place. With him there is forgiveness. There is no greater insight into God's character anywhere in the Bible than in this one verse right here. In him there is forgiveness. Thank God. People like you and me who have had our failures, there isn't just this name in capital letters. There's a lowercase one too. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. This word that's translated in him, there is forgiveness, is picked up. It's a place in the New Testament where the Old Testament is quoted into it. And the word there is used, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Thank God. Even David didn't have the opportunity that we do in this New Testament dispensation. Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he made a cleft in the rock. And he hides my soul in the cleft, and he covers it there with his hand. From all the devil can do to me, from all my past history has been, from all of my failures have been, he made a cleft in the rock. The rock is God's absolute holiness. And I don't have any way to break the rock, and you didn't either. I'm going to fall on the rock, and it's going to break me. That's what's going to happen. But Jesus Christ made a cleft in the rock, and he hid my soul in there. And he covers it there with his hand. And it's a safe place. So here's what he said. O Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Now here's how you get it. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. You can't gin up salvation. You can't manufacture it. You can't make it happen. It takes the Lord calling to you. Thank God he does. I've thought many times about Matthew there with his money changers and how the Lord Jesus walked by and looked at him and spoke two words to him. And there's salvation in those two words. All he said to him was, follow me. And it isn't very long after that we find Jesus sitting in Matthew's house having a dinner. Then the scribes and the Pharisees pulling on their long beards and curling their lips and saying, what is he doing in there with a man like that? And the fact is that man was more saved than probably any of them were. And all it took was Jesus to look at him, just to walk by and look at him, and it changed him to read those things and say, Lord Jesus, look at me. I need you to come by and look at me because there's salvation in that. I can't get saved until you come by to talk to my heart. But when you do, everything changes. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And then he says, and this is so valuable, in his word do I hope. I believe in feelings with salvation. I've been in those meetings where people get up from the altar and they're crying and shouting at the same time. I've seen the whole congregation shouting. And I like to see somebody say, well, the honey came down in my soul. And all the blessing that goes with it. But it's not the guarantee of salvation. There's more to it than that. This didn't say, in my feelings I hope. I hope in thy word. I've learned that there is a proportionality between the feelings that people get at the altar and how much they're able to believe God's word of what he said he would do for them. Salvation is a matter of making a transaction with the Lord Jesus Christ. In thy word do I hope. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's his word. And the whole secret to what David is talking about here to get delivered from the depths of his despair is to come down to an altar, if that's where you're going to do it, or wherever you can find God, and make a covenant with him. Lord Jesus, if you forgive me of my sins, wash my soul and blot out the past and move it as the east is from the west, I'll give my life to you. Can't stand to go on this way. I'm in the depths. It doesn't feel very good. I want to get something that's solid and got some joy in it and some peace in my soul. And so I'm coming to you, and I'm going to believe your word, what you told me. In the day that ye seek me with your whole heart, there's no doubt on God's part. If there's any failure in it, it's that I haven't sought him yet with all my heart. More than that, how merciful he is. Many times we've prayed this prayer with folks at the altar. Lord, if there's anything more you require of them, put your finger on them. Help them to see what it is. And he's so faithful to do that. Been holding a grudge against somebody, he'll show you that. I remember one of our ministers testifying years ago. He stole a penny. He stole a penny from somebody. And he said he came to pray, and that penny just got up in his mind and got bigger and bigger and bigger until it looked like it was a millstone. And he finally told the Lord, if you save me, as humiliating as it, I'll go back to that man and give him his penny back. And he brought salvation. You meet the terms, folks, and then all that's left is believe his word. He didn't say that you'd get any feelings. Here's what he said. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. You can go to this altar to get saved and get wonderful feelings and be saved. And you can come to this altar and pray all you want to know and get no feelings at all. What matters is that you choose to believe that the Lord will do what he said. You do your part, and the Lord will do his part every time. And this also is the beauty and the mystery of it. You do your part and be faithful to it, and there'll come some feelings. There'll come a time when it'll get to be real joy in your soul. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. In his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord. Waiteth for him. I knew a man who came to pray to get saved. I know every circumstance is different. I know there were some reasons for this. But he came to the altar and he prayed every prayer he knew to pray. We came down to the place where he said, well, brother, you're going to have to take it by faith. But I can't give him any feelings. What else can you do? You got to believe what God says. Fulfill the terms of his word, then it's up to him. I can't change him. He said, I believe it. He said, I don't feel anything. Well, we can pray some more, but the conditions are unchanged. You got to give him everything. He got up, went his way. He told me it was 3 weeks before I felt anything. When he felt it, he was genuine. Isn't that what counts? Who's going to tell God how he can deal with us? I listen to this again. In his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord. When God has promised us something, folks, and we do our part of it, then is our time to wait. Did you know waiting is a Bible doctrine? We're taught in the scriptures to wait. Wait on the Lord, I say. And again, wait upon the Lord. He's got his own time and his own way of working things out. And it's always right. And it's always the way it should be done. In his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. And this is talking about watchmen. Sentries on duty. But I don't think this is an abuse of the scriptures. I'm going to apply it this way. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. It's talking about, in my best understanding, among other things, I know there's other things in this, but it's talking about making a covenant with the Lord about my morning. Every day when I start my day, I've started a purpose to live for the Lord. Part of that purpose is I'm going to spend some time with Jesus every morning. I'm watching for the morning. When it gets here, it's watching for eternal morning. And I know it's other things, but it's also talking about, and we counsel this to everybody we can who comes to get saved. Part of your new life needs to be taking time for Jesus every morning. Get your private prayer closet and get your streams in the desert or get your book of Bible promises. Spend some time feeding on his word. I miss Brother Steve Elston when I come here. Oh, I miss that man. And he had a saying I'll never forget. He was a working man. He was also a man of God. And he said, every day before I go to work, I ask the Lord to give me something to use to encourage somebody else. And brother, he had it. He had scriptures, he had songs, he had sayings out of the Bible, and he could lift your spirits. It was because of that closet. Some of you can tell when people been in the closet and when they haven't. My soul hopes in the Lord, standing on his word, and then it waits on the Lord. And you fulfill these things, folk, and you can live saved. Any of us can live saved. We can live saved. That's what he's talking about. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. And then he repeats it as if to give it the more emphasis. I say more than they that watch for the morning. And then he broadens it. And we believe this too. We believe this really is the answer for the whole world. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Oh, well, I'll be bold. You believe it anyway. The answer for this whole United States of America would be a good season of repentance and people turn aside from sin. You talk about a revival meeting that would come down from heaven if people would do that. This doesn't only work for individuals. It'll work for your children. It'll work for your family. It'll work for your community. It'll work for a nation. This is the right way for people to live. Well, I want to tell you a story. I love camp meeting. You love camp meeting? I got some reasons for it. Used to call it the Sawdust Trail. Used to call these up here the Mourner's Bench. I've seen a lot of salt water on these very benches. Our forefathers wrote about the brush arbors by the side of the road where an old sinner could lay down his weary load. And there was praying, shouting, singing till the mountainside was ringing in those old brush arbors by the side of the road. Mom and Dad loved them so dearly. It was a place where people found where sinner could lay down their heavy loads. You know, I think about some of the things that have come out of camp meetings. You know, they make those whiskey bottles flat, some of them. Some of them are round, but some of them are flat, kind of looking. And I think they make good skipping bottles that way. Now, I've seen people get so saved to take the whiskey bottle and throw it, skipping off somewhere else. Salvation will deliver people from drinking, and it'll deliver them from smoking. My dad, he was the leader of my soul when I was young, took me down one time to a camp meeting, a campground, right here in his culvert, son. He said, I took a pack of cigarettes out of my pocket and I stuffed them down there in that culvert and I never have gone back to get them anymore. That's why I love camp meeting. That's why I love camp meeting. Now, I've stood in camp meeting and I have seen families standing back there somewhere and somebody in the family that hadn't been doing very well. You know, spend all the rent money on gambling or alcohol. Get under conviction. And wife and children standing there praying and trembling. And you can tell when the conviction's heavy. The songs are being sung, Just As I Am, or saying, Why Not Tonight? And you can see people's faces start changing. And finally, maybe break loose and start coming up to the altar. You watch that wife just crumble. Down on her knees begging God, thank you, Lord, look what's happening. Little Johnny's going to have a good daddy from now on. Won't have any struggle getting to go to a meeting anymore. He's going to want to go with me. Not going to be wasting money on things we shouldn't be spending on. Going to be dressing decent clothes. And won't be any more vile language in our home. Have you seen those kind of things happen? I love camp meeting. I love camp meeting. I've seen people that had quarrels with each other, weren't getting along, get under conviction, and one of them on one end of the altar and the other one on the other end of the altar and pray their way toward each other. And next thing you know, they got their arms around each other and it's gone. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. My sins are all taken away. That's what David's talking about here. I love camp meeting. I love those old dirt floors that we used to have. And the heat here in Louisiana, it got so hot. And I remember Brother Sammons, I didn't see him, but Roberta did, preaching till his shirt was soaked and his pants were soaked. His belt were soaked and his socks were soaked and his shoes were soaked and the altars were lined with people getting saved. And I'm glad we're inside, but it's the same salvation. And he's got the same deliverance and it'll do the same thing for you. It changed Brother Salmon's life. I remember Brother Salmon's in the first 4 or 5 years after he started preaching, and you could still see the marks under his eyes because he'd been an alcoholic. And it changes your face, you know, the heavy face and the red and so forth. But he got over that so far. He got over that. He said, I drive down the highway and I see a big old sign on the side of the barn that says, chew male pouch tobacco. And he said, I tell the devil, no, I don't have to. Never again. I love camp meeting, folks. I love what happens at camp meetings. Where salvation is. It's where the power comes down. It's where our forefathers found the principles and the understanding that made strong communities and that built our nation. It's holy. It's pure. It's God's way. That's what David's talking about here. You understand what I'm trying to say? Let me tell you a story. William Kirkpatrick was born February 27, 1838, Duncannon, Pennsylvania. He wrote songs that are in our hymnal. He's a songwriter. And he was a traveling man. Folks had itinerant preachers in those. There were bands of preachers that go around through the countryside. They didn't go by helicopters. And they didn't live stream their services. Not that they wouldn't have, but they couldn't. So they go into the community and word get around. There's a meeting going on. Folks would come and didn't have any televisions to distract them. Weren't they better off? And so they'd come to the meeting and they'd sing. And some of those meetings would last for 3 weeks and some longer than that. He was one of those who did that sort of thing. And he wrote that he went to one of those meetings one time in a place. And there was a young man who'd get up and sing a solo. They had specials just like we do. He'd get up and sing his solo, and then when the singing was done, he'd leave the meeting. He wouldn't stay. Brother Kirkpatrick got under a burden for him. Well, you know, we used to do that too. We still do. Maybe we're a little more sophisticated today. You got to be careful. But I'm old. I remember Brother Carver and some of the folks like him. Brother Carver was a bold man. Well, he was full of the Holy Spirit in a lot of ways. Don't misunderstand me. But I have seen Brother Carver go back to people in the crowd that he knew were under conviction. And where maybe just one more nudge would be enough. You got to be real careful doing this. You want to be sure you're right, but he did it. Don't you think you ought to come and get saved tonight? And I've seen that just be, well, the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. And you'd see the old tears start running down their cheeks. And next thing, they'd be up there at the altar. I've seen the ministers walk the aisles preaching the gospel, holding the songbook in their hand or the Bible. Don't you feel like you ought to turn tonight? And so that's what happened. Well, that's what William Kilpatrick was doing and so forth. And this young man would come and then he'd leave. And Brother Kilpatrick got under a burden. Folks, when you go off to camp meeting, it might surprise you if you knew how often the old parson's been out under a tree somewhere half the night praying for your soul and asking the Lord to give the message of the hour. I still believe in things like that. And his spirit come down in the meeting and uncover you, show things, you look at you, shake your head and say, how did that preacher know what I was into? And he didn't. He didn't. He was like the prophet up there on the mountain. And the old king says to him, well, now which one of you is a spy? And tell him what we're doing. And finally one of his advisors said, no, that's a man of God, and the Lord tells him what to do. And what are you going to do to interfere with that? And I tell you, get around the saints meeting, you're liable to get under conviction. It's the mercy of the Lord that you should. So Brother Kilpatrick did that, and he saw this man. So he wrote a song, and he gave it to that man. And he asked him, would you sing this tonight? And he got about halfway through it, and it broke him down. We got it in our hymnal. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Brother Kirkpatrick drew his inspiration from that, from the story of the prodigal. And I'm going to ask you if we could turn over there and sing it. It says, the paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. I got the despair. I got the heartbreak. I've had the trouble. I need the solution. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Here's where home is to the church, to the sinner, to the soul. God is the Father, and the church is His mother. And if you come to the Lord's people, and you come to the Lord Jesus Himself, it's home. It's home. Here you find people who love you. Here you can find peace. Here you can have your soul fed and have the privilege of going to heaven with people of like mind and similar spirit. Somebody's found that in our hymnal. What is the number for? Now I'm coming home. It says, my soul is sick, my heart is sore, my strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. My only hope, my only plea. That's my thought this evening. I thank you so much for the courtesy of your attention. Could we stand and sing that song, please? And there may be someone here this evening. Oh, it's stronger than that. I know there are folks here this evening to whom the Lord is speaking, inviting you. This is your time. He won't force anybody to serve Him. But you can come home if you will. Amen. Let's stand and sing, please.